Saving and everything for your next project now at Menards. Breathe easier with Best Air Ultimate Allergen Air Filters. They trap large airborne particles to keep allergens out of your home, and they last up to 90 days. Save big on all Best Air products at Menards and refresh your home today. View our selection of air filtration products on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer and find great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring retired FBI special agent Jennifer Coffendaffer.
It wasn't me. It's essentially what one can garner from the letter from the attorneys of Ruby Frankie. Pretty much saying, I'm going to take accountability, but I'm not because it was mainly Jody Hildebrand and I was brainwashed. Everyone's brainwashed these days. It's nobody's fault. Nobody's accountable. Even everybody's a grown-ass adult. It's always somebody else's fault for what decisions have been made, no matter how poor they are. Joining me to discuss this case of Ruby Frankie and Jody Hildebrand, Jennifer Coffendaffer, retired FBI special agent. Jennifer, I want to go through this letter. I'm going to just kind of take it. It's not super long. And I want to get your reaction to what Ruby is claiming through her attorneys and what you think reality truly is. We'll kind of do a little, here's what she says, and then you decipher the code words of this. So Windward Law is making a statement on behalf of Ruby Frankie regarding the pending charges in the Washington County 5th District Court, along with her thoughts about her current family situation. Our client is working with the prosecutor's office and anticipates resolving this matter quickly by entering a plea agreement with the court on Monday, December 18th. That, of course, already has happened. We haven't gotten a ruling as of this recording. Ruby Frankie is a devoted mother and also a woman committed to constant improvement. Initially, Ms. Frankie believed that Jody Hildebrand had the insight to offer a path to continual improvement. Ms. Hildebrand took advantage of this quest and twisted into something heinous. Over an extended period, Ms. Hildebrand systematically isolated Ruby Frankie from her extended family, older children, and her husband, Kevin Frankie. This prolonged isolation resulted in Ms. Frankie being subjected to a distorted sense of morality shaped by Ms. Hildebrand's influence. And there's more, and we'll go to that in a moment, but let's take a pause right there. How much of that is the truth? Was Ruby Frankie essentially another victim in all of this of Jody Hildebrand?
Well, I think it's a quite eloquent fictional prose.
Yeah.
Fictional being the key word. I don't buy any of it. I don't think she was brainwashed. I don't think that Jody gave her, ruined her morality. At the end of the day, it was her children. It was Ruby Frankie's children, and they are her responsibility. And to allow and participate in the depths of the abuse that occurred is on her and her alone. And it's hard to listen to a letter like that when it's really just false.
When someone is claiming that they were essentially brainwashed, if you will, I know she doesn't use the term brainwashed the way Kevin did, but essentially that's kind of what she is saying, that she was manipulated to such an extent that abusing her children somehow seemed like a good idea. I mean, that's such an egregious idea to anyone who is a parent I don't know how this is going to sell. I don't know how any judge is going to look at this when it comes time to sentencing and go, let's give you some grace because you're making these claims. It almost seems more insulting to anyone's sanity or judgment than it does to actually help the argument of Ruby Frankie.
Well, I tell you, in going through so many sentencings throughout the years of individuals and seeing all these notes, right, and listening to what they had to say before the judge, being a part of that, these are the types of notes that don't work. These are the types of communique, and if she sticks with this when she talks to the judge for sentencing, this is not going to sit well with the judge. The judges want to hear this. I really messed up. This was my fault. I'm so sorry. I can't believe I made these decisions. I'm on the road to recovery. I need help. That's mm-hmm. what a judge wants to hear.
Yeah.
And when they hear a person get up or make this sort of pronouncement that it's somebody else's fault, most judges, it falls on deaf ears. And I wouldn't doubt that if she pulls this at sentencing, that the judge points that out very unequivocally.
And as the letter goes on here, and I'll continue reading it, she kind of goes down that direction. But again, it's just not with any sort of, I think, genuine emotion. It just feels like I'm going to say this. She even kind of contradicts herself in taking responsibility and then not taking responsibility. It goes on to say, during Ruby Frankie's incarceration in Washington County Jail over the past few months, she's actively engaged in an introspection that's allowed her to reset her moral compass and understand the full weight of her actions. Ms. Frankie is committed to taking responsibility for the part she played in the events leading up to her incarceration. Notice it doesn't say anything about what those responsibility points are. Demonstrating a sincere dedication to personal growth and rehabilitation, she's actively begun the process by reaching out to members of her family through heartfelt apologies. She seeks to mend relationships and contribute positively to the healing journey of her family. Ruby's aware that Kevin Frankie has filed for divorce. While she is devastated by this news, she acknowledges and understands his anger and reasoning despite the pain. She respects his decisions and remains hopeful that with time, she can contribute to rebuilding trust and fostering understanding with her family. Ruby has offered her full cooperation to help her children reunite with her father. Kind of reminds me of almost like a press release where at the very end of it, it's like, our company is dedicated to quality and integrity. I mean, that's really what it almost kind of feels like.
Yeah, no, it really does. As I was listening to it and previously reading it, it's so general, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, generalities.
Yeah.
Instead, you want to hear, you know, the fact that I starved my children, the fact that I bound them with handcuffs and duct tape, and that I used cayenne pepper to heal the wounds. Judge, this was so wrong. And I'm never going to do that again. And blah, 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 blah. You want to hear that specificity. Mm-hmm. I call or write my children daily,
mm-hmm.
you know, as allowed. You want to hear the specifics, because if not, just like you said, it comes off as some sort of general press release.
Yeah.
And it's so void of real feeling of truth that that's what she's doing.
It's almost like they took a copy of one of the news stories that really covered all of this, threw it into ChatGPT, and said, from the perspective of Ruby Frankie, a apology and how you truly feel remorseful for all these things, and make it look sincere. That's about as sincere as it feels. It feels like it's something out of ChatGPT. I really wouldn't be honestly surprised if it wasn't something out of ChatGPT. But being genuine, being honest, that is not what that letter is. Is there anything that she can do at this point to try and get some grace from a judge when it comes time to the sentencing for her guilty plea?
Well, I think she needs to really acknowledge her culpability. I think she needs to be very specific in the actions that she took against the children, because a judge will see that as truly understanding the breadth of what she did wrong. If she goes up there and is general and sorry, judge, I'm trying to make amends, but really it was Jody's fault, it's going to be disastrous for her. But what I'm worried about is in these cases, so there's a pre-sentencing report that's going to be prepared that has everything put together. And there's also going to be a recommendation typically by the prosecution. And what I did read in here was the prosecution promised not to object to anything during future parole. So whenever there's a parole hearing, they are not going to weigh in on it. And that really concerns me, because it makes me think that they're going to plea her to, even if it's just, say, there's four charges, say she gets 3 years per charge, 12 years, she'll only serve six. Mm-hmm. Remember, in the state system, it's literally about half, and even less than that sometimes for good time. And the prosecution has said, listen, we're not going to object to it. So what I fear is that she really isn't going to get much time at all.
Another concern I think a lot of people would have in this case is, well, what about the kids? Is she going to get any sort of custody of the children back? Is that going to be a difficult road for her to go down, or is it going to be easier than some might think? I mean, it seems almost open and shut if you're a responsible dad, and I'm not in any way insinuating that Kevin Franke is a responsible dad, but let's say he has custody, whoever has custody of the children, how difficult is that going to be of a journey for her to get back into their lives, and should that even be allowed?
Well, parental rights was not a part of this deal, and I'll be very interested to see what happens from that standpoint. As you said, when she does get out, will she be able to have supervised visitation, or by that point, will her children actually be of age, mm-hmm. which I believe in Utah is 17, if I recall correctly. It could even be 16, but I think it is 17 in Utah. In any event, hopefully she won't get out before that age is reached. But if it is, you bring up such a good point. But if they're adults, you know, she's going to be able to certainly have interaction with them.
Yeah. And but they'll also be more their call as well, whether they want to or not when they're adults. And looking at this, I would think for the sake of everyone, probably the best thing that can happen is for her not to be in their lives. And if they want to maybe figure out something as adults, great. But as minor children, and this your mom, I mean, that's got to be heartbreaking and absolutely horrible. But the healthier thing is probably not to have her there.
Yeah, no, I agree. But Tony, if I learned anything with these types of cases with child abuse, it's so heartbreaking, because kids that are battered, kids that are starved, neglected, abused, a bad mommy and bad daddy is better than no mommy and no daddy in their eyes. Mm-hmm. And typically, you know, we saw it actually right in the Timothy Farrater case, where, you know, he was willing to forgive right there on the stand. So I guess what I'm saying is that what I've always seen is children just want that affection and attention from their parents, no matter how horribly they've been treated in many cases.
And that's bad. Hoping that maybe a parent can come around in a case like this to own up to their shortcomings and maybe try and be the person that their kids truly need them to be. One would hope that this would be the wake-up call that would allow Ruby Franke to get there.
Yes, let's all hope for that.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.